Hello, and welcome to Page Turn, the Largo Public Library podcast. I'm your host, Hannah. Page Turn is a monthly podcast bringing you information about great books, library news, and fun library tidbits from your favorite programs, as well as a Spanish language book review from Victor. But as always, we start with Reader's Advisory. Practical, unassuming Jane Shoringfield has done the calculations and decided that the most secure path forward is this: a husband in a marriage of convenience who will allow her to remain independent and occupied with meaningful work. Her first choice, the dashing but reclusive Dr. Augustine Lawrence, agrees to her proposal with only one condition: that she must never visit Lindridge Hall, his crumbling family manor outside of town. Yet, on their wedding night, an accident strands her at his door in a pitch-black rainstorm, and she finds him changed. Gone is the bold, courageous surgeon, and in his place is a terrified, paranoid man, one who cannot tell reality from nightmare, and fears Jane is an apparition come to haunt him. By morning, Augustine is himself again, but Jane knows something is deeply wrong at Lindridge Hall, and with the man she has so hastily bound her safety to. Set in a dark mirror version of post-war England, Starling crafts a new kind of Gothic horror from the bones of the beloved canon. This Crimson Peak-inspired story assembles, then upends, every expectation set in place by Shirley Jackson and Rebecca, and will leave readers shaken, desperate to begin again as soon as they are finished. Today's Reader's Advisory is The Death of Jane Lawrence by Caitlin Starling. The Death of Jane Lawrence is a Gothic horror novel. Set in post-World War II England, this novel is menacing, creepy, and suspenseful. Readers will be drawn into the story through an intensifying pace and a compelling writing style. Readers may also enjoy Mexican Gothic by Silvia Moreno Garcia. After receiving a frantic letter from her newlywed cousin begging for someone to save her from a mysterious doom, Naomi Taboada heads to High Place, a distant house in the Mexican countryside. She's not sure what she will find. Her cousin's husband, a handsome Englishman, is a stranger, and Naomi knows little about the region. Naomi is an unlikely rescuer. She's a glamorous debutante, and her chic gowns and perfect red lipstick are more suited for cocktail parties than amateur sleuthing. But she's also tough and smart, with an indomitable will, and she is not afraid. Not of her cousin's new husband, who is both menacing and alluring. Not of his father, the ancient patriarch who seems to be fascinated by Naomi. And not even of the house itself, which begins to invade Naomi's dreams with visions of blood and doom. Her only ally in this inhospitable abode is the family's youngest son. Shy and gentle, he seems to want to help Naomi, but might also be hiding dark knowledge of his family's past. For there are many secrets behind the walls of High Place. The family's once colossal wealth and faded mining empire kept them from prying eyes. But as Naomi digs deeper, she unearths stories of violence and madness. And Naomi, mesmerized by the terrifying yet seductive world of High Place, may soon find it impossible to ever leave this enigmatic house behind. Or The Silent Companions by Laura Purcell. When newly widowed Elsie is sent to see out her pregnancy at her late husband's crumbling country estate, The Bridge, what greets her is far from the life of wealth and privilege she was expecting. When Elsie married handsome young heir Rupert Bainbridge, she believed she was destined for a life of luxury. But with her husband dead just weeks after their marriage, her new servants resentful, and the local villagers actively hostile, Elsie has only her husband's awkward cousin for company. Or so she thinks. Inside her new home lies a locked door, beyond which is a painted wooden figure, a silent companion, that bears a striking resemblance to Elsie herself. The residents of the bridge are terrified of the figure, but Elsie tries to shrug this off as simple superstition. That is, until she notices the figure's eyes following her. A Victorian ghost story that evokes a most unsettling kind of fear. This is a tale that creeps its way through the consciousness in ways you can least expect, much like the silent companions themselves. Or, The Little Stranger by Sarah Waters. One post-war summer, in his home of rural Warwickshire, Dr. Faraday, the son of a maid who has built a life of quiet respectability as a country physician, is called to a patient at Lonely Hundred Hills, home to the Ayres family for over two centuries. The Georgian house, once impressive and handsome, is now in decline, its masonry crumbling, its gardens choked with weeds, the clock in its stable yard permanently fixed at 8:40. Its owners, mother, son, and daughter, are struggling to keep pace with a changing society, as well as with conflicts of their own. But are the Ayreses haunted by something more sinister than a dying way of life? Little does Dr. Faraday know how closely and how terrifyingly their story is about to become intimately entwined with his. Bonus segment! My personal favorite Goodreads list, The Death of Jane Lawrence is on, is Gothic Romantic Suspense of a Bygone Era, Victorian Mansions, Mysterious Manors, Haunted Chateau, Sinister Castles, Rambling Estates, Governesses, Heiresses, Mistresses, and Brooding Atmospheres. Happy reading, everyone! This month's library tidbit comes to us from Research and Access Service librarian Hillary and is all about bipolar disorder. Hillary has long been running a program titled Issues That Matter that focuses on problems our society is facing using mostly fiction. On November 29th, the program will be reading and discussing The Silver Linings Playbook, a book that deals with bipolar disorder and trauma responses. In the book, the main character, Pat, has just come home from a psychiatric hospital where he was hospitalized following a destructive manic outburst. He has been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. In addition to bipolar disorder, Silver Linings Playbook also has a character who portrays a trauma response characterized by depression and risky behaviors. Bipolar disorder are disorders that cause shifts in mood, energy, activity levels, concentration, and ability to function. There are currently three types of bipolar disorder in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, called the DSM-5, bipolar 1 disorder, bipolar 2 disorder, and psychothymic disorder. Each disorder has different diagnostic criteria. I'm going to cut in here to say that I am not a psychiatrist, I do not have a degree in any field of psychology, I cannot and will not diagnose anyone, and no one should use any of the following information to diagnose themselves or anyone else. However, if you think any of this criteria matches your lived experience, please talk to your doctor or a psychiatrist. I know that may be too expensive for a lot of people, but if you are in a position to be able to visit a doctor, please ask them about your concerns. In order to be diagnosed with bipolar 1 disorder, a person must have had at least one manic episode. This episode may or may not have been preceded by a hypomanic episode or a major depressive episode. The manic episode cannot be better explained by a different diagnosis. In order to be diagnosed with bipolar 2 disorder, a person must have had at least one manic episode and at least one major depressive episode, and the symptoms of these episodes must cause significant disruption of the person's life. They can never have had a manic episode. The hypomania and depression cannot be better explained by a different diagnosis. In order to be diagnosed with psychothymic disorder, a person must have had periods of both hypomania and depression over the course of at least 2 years, with the hypomania and the depression sharing the time evenly. The symptoms of these episodes must significantly disrupt the person's life. the hypomania and depression cannot be better explained by a different diagnosis. I'm now going to explain mania, hypomania, and depression, where the definition or criteria of the bipolar disorders will not make sense. Mania and hypomania have mostly the same symptoms, however, they do not have them to the same intensity. Mania is the more severe of the two, and can also present with psychosis. However, a manic or hypomanic episode must present with three or more of the following symptoms: abnormally upbeat, jumpy or wired, increased activity, energy or agitation, exaggerated sense of well-being and self-confidence, also referred to as euphoria, decreased need for sleep, unusual talkativeness, racing thoughts, distractibility, and poor decision-making. A depressive episode must include five or more of the following symptoms: depressed mood, feeling sad, empty, hopeless, marked loss of interest or pleasure in activities that used to interest or bring pleasure, significant weight loss or weight gain that was not purposeful, a change in sleeping patterns, insomnia or oversleeping, restlessness or slowed behavior, fatigue, feelings of worthlessness or inappropriate guilt, decreased ability to think or concentrate, suicidal ideation. The Issues That Matter program will discuss both mental health issues as well as the book Silver Linings Playbook. Hillary will also be sharing tips and resources on receiving assistance. This is an online program. Registration is required, and the information on how to access the program will be emailed out by November 23rd. If you or someone you care about has bipolar disorder, or you would like tips and resources to receive aid, attend the program. We also have several titles in the adult nonfiction collection if you would like to do more research. And now it's time for Book Traveler with Victor.
Bienvenido a un nuevo episodio de Viajero de Libros. Mi nombre es Victor y soy el bibliotecario de acceso a la comunidad en la Biblioteca Pública de Largo. Hoy les voy a hablar sobre un libro de no ficción que tenemos en la colección en español, que se titula Las venas abiertas de América Latina por Eduardo Galeano. Sinopsis. La historia de la colonización europea hasta la América Latina contemporánea, argumentando con crónicas y narraciones el constante saqueo de los recursos naturales de la región por parte de imperios coloniales entre los siglos XIV y XIX y los estados imperialistas, el Reino Unido y los Estados Unidos principalmente, desde el siglo XIX en adelante. Galeano escribió Las venas para difundir ideas ajenas y experiencias propias que quizás ayuden un poquito, en su realista medida, a despejar los interrogantes que nos persiguen desde siempre. ¿Es América Latina una región del mundo condenada a la humillación y a la pobreza? ¿Condenada por quién? ¿Es culpa de Dios? ¿Culpa de la naturaleza? ¿No será la desgracia de un producto de la historia hecha por los hombres y que por los hombres puede, por lo tanto, ser deshecha? Opinión. Las venas abiertas de Latinoamérica es una de las obras más destacadas de Eduardo Galeano, quien luego de una exhaustiva investigación sobre la historia política, económica, social y cultural de Latinoamérica, desde el siglo XIV hasta el siglo XX, logra plasmar sus ideas utilizando argumentos muy bien fundamentados y fuentes confiables. Los hechos que presenta no los enseñan en la escuela. Aunque han transcurrido 48 años desde que se publicó, la problemática sigue vigente. En la primera parte, el autor hace un recuento de lo que está sucediendo en América Latina. Trata sobre cómo nuestros países son presa tan fácil de las grandes potencias, ya que, a pesar de tener riquezas y especies, somos incapaces de desarrollarnos, creando un mundo en el que solo existen las potencias y los subordinados. Desde la época colonial, América ha sufrido varios cambios, que han dejado grandes secuelas. Los colonizadores no vinieron en busca del progreso de nuestro territorio, ellos solo buscaban su propio beneficio. Con mucha data, Galeano nos da elementos para comprender qué intereses están detrás de los latinos. Vivimos en la esperanza constante de ver progresar nuestra tierra, mientras los frutos los recolectan los mismos de siempre hace más de 5 siglos. Es un libro muy recomendado. Es todo por hoy. Hasta la próxima edición de Viajero de Libros. Hasta luego.
Thanks, Victor, for another great book review. Remember, if you happen to not know Spanish, check out our English language translation in the show notes. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Check out our events tab on the homepage or the link in the show notes for our upcoming events. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again soon. This month, okay, just get settled before we start talking, or we're just gonna end up with boops everywhere.